was considered the father of the people of Israel. And then Jesus was greater than Moses, the giver of the law. Jesus was greater than Samuel, the last judge, the first one that was basically, in many ways, in a lot of ways, he was almost like a king. He ruled the people in some ways, and he did what the Lord wanted him to do. But then the first king of Israel was Saul, and it was Samuel that anointed Saul, David, and David both. So he was the giver of the king of Israel. And then Jesus is greater than Elijah, the prophet, who some would say would return before the coming of the Messiah. And he was a great prophet that stood in the face of opposition in the form of King Ahab. So all that to say, Jesus is greater than all those. And then we get to the New Testament, and John the Baptist arrives, and he's a man like no other. And Jesus is greater than John the Baptist. But then Jesus says something interesting, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning in Matthew chapter 11. We referenced it last week in the message, but this week we're going to actually get into this passage. Because in this passage, we learn something about us. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 through 15, if you would please stand as we read Scripture. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah, who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have given us through your word and what your word represents to us and how it comes in our hearts and shapes us and draws us closer to you. And through it, we experience the power of your love and your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Did you pick up that verse 11? It says, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So, Jesus is basically saying right here that no prophets, no one like Moses, no one like Abraham, no one is greater than John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist was the greatest. He was the one who prepared the way of the Lord. He was the Elijah that came in the prophet who came in the spirit of Elijah. He was Elijah, Jesus says. But then Jesus goes on to kind of clarify the statement a little bit. He says, one least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. So what is the kingdom of heaven? When's it coming? Is it here? Are we still waiting on it? Well, it's interesting when you look at this passage of Scripture, kingdom of heaven is how Matthew records this passage. But if you look at the rest of the Gospels, it's kingdom of God. So this is an interchangeable wording that Matthew uses to refer to the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven that is to come in Christ Jesus. So now the next question is, when's it coming? Or is it already here? Well, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus says this, And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So if Jesus just basically says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," guess what he just established right there? His kingdom. Now, I know a lot of end time preachers want to talk about the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ and when he takes his earthly throne for the 1,000-year reign or this reign or that reign or whatever. But right here, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Not at some later point, right now. And I think it's a tool of the devil for us to worry about tomorrow instead of focusing on what needs to be done today. Let me put it into this perspective. This past week, what happened in New Zealand? Some fellow decided to take up a gun and go into a mosque in New Zealand and shoot and kill 50 people. Guess what that means? To me, that means that 50 people died without knowing Jesus Christ or the love of Jesus Christ. Because they were worshiping Allah, they were praying to Allah, they were worshiping Muhammad, they were Muslims, they were not Christians, and they did not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, what is going on is there is a war going on in our world today. It is a true war of eternal consequences. And Satan is doing everything in his power to take dominion over those who don't know Jesus Christ. And he's bringing about people to destroy lives because that war that's going on is the eternal war that one day we have to wake up to and realize people are perishing without the love of Jesus in their life. And as people of Christ, we're called to be ambassadors. We're called to be representatives. We're called to live up to Jesus' standards. Not the standards of this world, not the practice of this world, and not the way of this world. But instead, we are to be representatives of heaven on earth. And if Jesus says right here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, that all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, that means we should follow his example and do what needs to be done and preach the kingdom of God because it's here. And those who are not a part of it are headed for destruction, for eternal separation from God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and following says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, Christ, Jesus Christ, is that source." You see, Jesus has established his kingdom. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him because it always was his. Because all things were created in him. Remember when Jesus was in the desert and being tempted? Satan offered him the kingdoms of this world. And what was Jesus' response? "They belong to God. They're not yours." He knew the deceiver was trying to deceive him. And we, in our minds, we still think this world belongs to all the people. But this world belongs to God. He created it. He sustained it. And he has left it to be, he has kept it in his presence. Now one day it's all going to be over. There will be a trumpet blast, and then and Christ shall return. And those who believe will ascend, and we don't know how all those details work out. The truth be told, God only knows in most of those details. We can only speculate. We're pretty good at speculating, as long as speculation keeps us on the couches or in the chairs, and not motivates us to understand that right now the kingdom of God is here. It's present. It has manifested itself in us because Jesus Christ said so. And we can't call him a liar, can we? If he said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, we should trust that statement and believe it and live out that principle in our life and follow through by doing his command. What his command is was simple. Go and make disciples of all nations. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to make disciples. So we identify that the kingdom of heaven is here. It's the kingdom that is in Christ. Now the next question is, how can we be the least in the kingdom of God? Matthew chapter 23 verse 11 says, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." You hear those words? Who's the greatest? The one who serves. Because the one who serves is following the example of Jesus Christ, who came to serve, not to be served. Jesus came to lay down his life for us so that we may become the sons and daughters of God, of the God of heaven and earth, the eternal Father, the King of kings and Lord of lords. So in order for us to be there, we have to be in Christ and be willing to serve others so that they may know Christ too. How does it work? Well, we are made perfect. We are made greater than John through Jesus. Not by our own efforts, not by our own makings, not by our own doing, but by Jesus Christ himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." You hear those words? Those words are written to the church of Corinth two separate times. It's the same thing. Paul says the same thing to the church of Corinth twice. Actually says it a third time in 2 Corinthians. He goes in a little more detail with it. See, through Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of the promise of the Holy Spirit. That gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in each and every one of us. He is the Spirit of God. God is three parts, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That third part becomes a deposit. That deposit is a guarantee of what's to come in Christ. That guarantee is the promise of eternity with our Father in heaven, who is forever praised. Do you know the Holy Spirit that has been given to you? Do you trust the Holy Spirit in where he is leading you? Do you trust what God is doing with your life? Jesus did. Even though Jesus, trusting the Father, led him to the cross, Jesus still willingly trusts where he was going through the Spirit of God. This morning I ask you that question. Are you in Christ? And have you trusted God with your life? First, the kingdom of God that we are a part of is from everlasting to everlasting. It has no end. Because it has no beginning. Because God has always been, and God will always be. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. So he is from everlasting to everlasting, and his kingdom is from everlasting. And if you are a part of that kingdom, you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever and ever. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, now the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Second Peter 1, 11 says, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. You hear those words? Eternal kingdom. Everlasting kingdom. Psalms 10, 16, the psalmist writes, the Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his land. Psalms 29, 10 says, the Lord set as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. And then Psalm 66, 7 says, he rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, for he is King of kings forever. Now, how do we act like the least in the kingdom of heaven? Well, we serve one another. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and following says it this way. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should forgive. Behold, all these things put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule you in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Those are our marching orders. That's how we should live among each other. Think about this for just a moment. What would the world see if they saw a church that lived out those commands of Paul, those words of Paul? If we were a church of compassion, of true compassion, of true kindness, of true humility, of true gentleness and patience with one another, if we bared with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should forgive. Jesus put it this way. If you don't forgive, the same standards that you choose not to forgive others will be held to you. So we're commanded to forgive one another. Beyond all this, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. What a beautiful passage of Scripture, isn't it? This morning I ask you, do you live those words? Are you least in the kingdom of God? Because there can't be two kings. There's only one king. And that's the one sitting on the throne. And I don't know about you. I'm not sitting on any thrones. And I know also that when we get to heaven, everybody looks forward to that crown. Oh, I can't wait to get the crown of glory. Oh, the crown of glory. But you know, the book of Revelation is very clear. That crown of glory that you're looking forward to, you know what happens to it? It's laid at the feet of Jesus. Because he's the one that deserves all glory and honor. He's the one that laid down his life for you and I. He's the one that lived out God's commands to perfection. He walked on this earth in perfection. I know I didn't do that. I know that I could try as much as I want to try to be perfect. I'm reminded every day I'm not. But Jesus was perfect. He was perfect in every way. He was so good, so perfect that the Father saw it fitting to have his fullness dwell in him. His fullness, not part of God, fullness, Scripture says. The fullness of God dwelled in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus wasn't part God. He was the fullness of God. He was God in flesh, Emmanuel. And as he put it towards Pilate, when Pilate says, you know, I have the authority to let you go, Jesus responds, you have no authority over me. The only authority you have has been granted to you from heaven. You have no authority over me. But this is to be done because of the will of the Father. Jesus didn't accidentally die on the cross. It was the plan. All the way back, redemption was going to come. Jesus was going to die for yours and my sins and for the sins of the world so that we may be a part of God's kingdom, that we are made royal priesthood of God Most High, that we are established as the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. Now I ask you this simple question. Do you believe those words in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18? They're in your Bible. Just gave you the reference. Do you believe in those words in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11? That no one greater than John, no one born of woman is greater than John the Baptist. But those who are least in the kingdom of God are greater than he. Do you believe those words? Well, then that's you. Because of Jesus, if you believe Matthew 28, 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, then you believe that Christ's kingdom has come. His kingdom is established. He has defeated the greatest adversary of all. That adversary is death. Yes, it has been dethroned. Oh, death, where is your sting? It has been swallowed up by Jesus Christ. And now, when we leave this plane of existence, when we leave this place, absent in the body is what? Present with the Lord. Do you believe those words? Do you believe that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him? There is no other authority. Then do what he calls you to do. make disciples. Go. Preach the message. Provide the message of the good news. Share it with those who need to know it, who need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, who need to be united with Him in baptism, because that's the next part of that. Go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I command. Christ's words, not mine. They're right there in your Bible, starting with Matthew 28:18. Live those words. Abide in those words. Let's advance the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus, because that's what matters for eternity. It's heartbreaking. The Muslims that died this past week, they're not my enemy. They're not your enemy. Their ideas have been lost. The truth has been lost. The only enemy we have is Satan. And his goal was fulfilled this past week when those 50 people died without knowing Jesus Christ. He won that victory. Let it be his last. Do everything you can do to share the love of Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom of love in Christ to those who need. We don't have the sword in a sheath. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the word of a God. Let's share it with those who need to know it. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, able separate bone from marrow. It transforms lives. It brings kingdoms under the authority of God if we live it out in our lives. Trust it, live it, love it, because it endures forever. His word endures forever and ever, because his kingdom will endure forever. Heavenly Father, we praise you.